The title of our message this morning out of 2 Peter chapter 2 is The Perfect Judgment and Rescue of God. The Perfect Judgment and Rescue of God. Just like He will rescue those that belong to Him and He knows belong to Him, there will also come judgment for those that have rejected Him. And He's clear to us about these things. And we can be so thankful that for what He has done for us to give us forgiveness of our sins and to grant us salvation, all who believe in Him and call on His name. And there's some more good news that we're going to see in our passage of Scripture today. And let me just, as we look at our passage of Scripture today, there's more good news. It's that for those who have rejected, if you're sitting here in this room right now and you, up until this point, have rejected Him, the fact of the matter is that He knows who you are too. And He still cares for you. And it's not too late right now. And if you will but turn to Him, no matter what it is that you have done, no matter what it is that has kept you, that has just made you reject Him, what has caused you to make those choices. Fact of the matter is that if you will but turn to Him to receive the forgiveness that He freely offers you, He will grant it to you as well. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you have done. This is the God that we have. And we don't deserve Him, but aren't you glad that we have Him? It's amazing what He has done for us. And by the way, we are not going to, we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And there's a lot here. And we are not going to be able to cover absolutely everything in these verses. Let me encourage you, after today, go back and study these verses for yourself. And there's so much teaching, there's so much good stuff in here for us to for us to take all in. Go study this for yourself. But we're going to be looking at a lot of what He has to say here. He's going to talk to, God's going to talk a lot to us about false teachers today. And the fact that they are out there, they're available. But you know something? For every false teacher, for everyone who has been led astray by a false teacher and told lies and have followed them, you know something? God knows who they are. And He loves them and will rescue them as well if they will but turn to Him. He will perfectly practice perfect judgment and perfect rescue. He will never get it wrong. He will never get it wrong. He will be right every single time. And we can rest in this. We can rest in this as our sovereign God who knows all things. Knows who His children are, and knows who they are who have rejected Him. And He will get it right every single time. And He loves all, and will have mercy on those who will turn to Him. I'd like to just stop, and I'd like to pray one more time, and ask the Lord to guide us as we look at His Word this morning. Will you pray with me as we get started? Heavenly Father, I want to come before You one more time and just ask for You to speak. I want to ask that it would not be me speaking. I want to ask that it would be You who speaks now as we look at what You have said and apply it to our lives. I pray that we would understand the accurate message of Your words this morning. And it's in Your name we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Look down with me, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. But, let's stop there for a second. It's a little bit awkward place to stop, I know. All right? But we need to stop here and just take one thing into consideration, okay? This transition that He's making here is important for us to take note of, because what He is doing right here, What Peter is doing is something that is totally Peter fashion, okay? The way God had the Apostle Peter write this book down, at least so far anyway, is he just builds on top of one thing after the other. So in other words, in order to really understand what he is going to say here, you cannot forget what he has said right behind it. And in order to really understand what he said here, you cannot forget what he said right behind that. He just builds on one thing after the other, okay? So we have to take that in consideration. You know, I had someone tell me just a little bit ago, hey, Pastor Aaron, it seems like recently, whenever you've been speaking, whenever you've had an opportunity to speak, it seems like you go back to 2 Peter a lot, you must like that book. And, it would kind of be, D-U-M dumb for me to say, no, I hate this book, because it's God's word after all. So you're right about that. But I'll be honest with you, I keep going back because, to be honest, I have ADD, okay? You know what that stands for, right? You know, attention deficit. Hey, that's a really nice pair of sunglasses you got on right there. And I am not kidding you. I forget things, so quickly. I mean, you can ask my wife how quickly things escape me at our house. She has to practice great patience with me when it comes to that. But I don't want to forget. It's so important that I do not forget what the Apostle Peter is saying back here if we want to continue to know and have a clear understanding of what he's about to say. So, point number one today in our message here, the perfect judgment and rescue of God. Point number one is look back. We have to look back quickly, okay? And I'm going to do this as quickly as I possibly can. Are you ready? Hang on. You got your seatbelts on? Okay? We're going to roll, all right? Verses 12 through 15. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 real quick. Here's what Peter is saying here, okay? Peter is saying, I'm about to die. I know I'm about to die. God is going to allow me to be killed here pretty soon. But before I die, up until the day I die, here's something that I'm going to do. I am going to talk about stuff. There are certain things that I will never stop talking about until the day I die. What are these things? We have to go back to verse number 3 and following, okay? What are the things that Peter will never stop talking about? Here they are. Go back to verse number 3. We're going to buzz through this, okay? Verses 3 and 4 is, I will never stop telling you about what God has done for you. The things that God has done for you. I will never stop talking about these things, okay? Here are some things that he has done for you. By his own power, he has provided for you all things that pertain to life. In other words, eternal life. God has done through his son Jesus Christ, he has accomplished and done absolutely everything that was necessary to give you and I eternal life. He did it all. There is nothing that we could have done to receive eternal life. We were sinners, falling short of the grace of God. And Jesus Christ came and did it all for you and for me. He did it all. That's one thing that God, that's one of the things that God has done for us. Peter says, you must not forget this. You must never forget what God has done for you. That's the first one. Secondly, godliness. Jesus Christ, by his own power, has given me everything that pertains to godliness. In other words, in and of myself, I do not have the power to live a godly life, a life that God is pleased with, a life that looks like the life of Jesus. I do not have that ability in and of myself. It is God who works in me both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's by God's power. That's something else that God has done for you. And as you continue down, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises and made us partakers of the divine nature. And then he says, not only has God done these things for you, I will continue to remind you of them because you must never forget them. I will never stop talking about this. But secondly, there's a certain kind of person that God wants each of you as his children to turn into. to be conformed to the image of Christ. And he goes into that starting in verse number 5. Make every effort then to supplement or to add to your faith virtue or the excellence of Christ, and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness, brotherly affection and love, okay? Look back and see this. See this. I won't stop talking about this. This is who God wants you to become. He wants you to add these things to your faith. I will never stop talking about the kind of person that God wants you to become. I'll never stop preaching these things as long as God gives me breath. Why? Because in verses 16 through 21, here's the message to us. Because these things are the truth. I'm not going to stop telling you these things because they are the truth. Verses 16 through 21. And here's basically what Peter says in 16 through 21. He's saying, look, I'm not telling you these things because I'm making them up. All right? I didn't dream this stuff up on my own. And I also didn't read some whacked out book somewhere and learn this stuff there. He goes, that's not what this is. All right? This is the truth. I was an eyewitness of the truth. I was there. I was there with James and John on that holy mountain where Jesus was transfigured before me. Jesus' face started shining like the sun, and his clothes turned bright white. He was just shining, and I saw him like that, saw him in all of his majesty. And then, not only that, but then these two guys appeared from heaven. Moses and Elijah, and Jesus is talking with these two guys, and then all of a sudden this bright cloud appears and engulfs us, and I started to get scared at that point because this cloud comes around me, engulfs me, Peter, James, and John, and everybody else there, and Jesus is still shining like the sun, going crazy in all of his majesty, and I hear the voice of God ring out. And he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Totally confirming that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And these are his teachings. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's true. He is exactly who he said he was. Jesus, who came to take away the sin of the world. Here he is. It's the truth. I was there. I was there. I didn't make it up. I was there. And I heard the very voice of God. And he says, we have the prophetic word. This book who has always that has always pointed to the Messiah. Who has always pointed to the fact that a Messiah was going to come. And the things that were going to take place whenever he was here. This book, more fully confirmed, Peter says. And he says, you do well to pay attention to this like a light shining in a dark place. A couple of weeks ago, we were here together and we looked at verses 16 through 21 and just talked about how important it is that we know what this book says. That we spend time with God. Let me ask you something. In the last 2 weeks, how much time did you spend with God? Just letting him teach you. Filling, saturating yourself with the truth of this book. Peter says, I'll never stop talking about it because it's the truth. I was there. I saw it. And I heard it. And we have it right here. Do you love to get alone with God? Do you love to get alone with God and just feed your soul on the truth of this book that he wrote for you and for me? So important that we do that for a lot of reasons, but let's get to the reason that the Apostle Peter is going to point out here. It's so important that we know what this book says. Because point number two today, verse number one, point number two is because false teachers will come and they will lie to you. False teachers will come and they will lie to you. Verse number one. But false prophets also arose among the people. Remember, he just got done telling us, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God wrote this book, and it's the truth. But, and you do well to pay attention to it like a light shining in a dark place, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. You got to know what this book says. Because how are we going to know when someone tells us something that does not line up with the truth of God's word? We have to know what God says. That is how we will know when a false teacher is trying to come after us. And the first thing that I want us to notice is this word that he uses in here, this word secretly. Secretly. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. If you're anything like me, we need, I believe, to change the way we think about false teachers and who they are and what they look like. If you're anything like me, whenever the term false teacher comes up, I kind of naturally think of someone who's like blatantly obvious. Are you like me? Okay. Yeah, like blatantly obvious. Okay, that's kind of who I think of whenever I think of false teachers. I'll never forget whenever I was still in Bible college, I went to this country church up in Munising, Michigan, called Munising Baptist Church. It's a great place, had a great experience there, great people, great pastor. And myself and there was a bunch of other of my college friends that we were I think church was starting in like 20 minutes. And we were all out in the grass, which I'm surprised you could do that because it's freezing up there. But we were apparently it was warm enough that day. And we were out in the lawn and just chatting, waiting for church to start. And all of a sudden, we looked across the street and we could see this young guy coming up the other side of the road. And how many of you know my brother Seth, or at least know who he is? All right, he was there. And he yells at this guy, typical Seth fashion. He yells at this guy. He goes, "Hey, you want to come to church tonight, buddy?" And the guy, without missing a beat, yells back, "No." And then he proceeded to say, "I'm an atheist and a Satanist." And my immediate thought was, I didn't know you could be those two things at the exact same time. But anyway, that's obviously an obvious one, right? My four-year-old daughter could pick that out, right? All right, that guy's not going to teach you good things. All right, he's not going to teach you things that are in line with this book, right? All right, that's kind of obvious. All right, that's what I tend to think of. Whenever I think of false teachers, but if you look real close, that is not the kind of person that the Apostle Peter is talking to us about here. Okay? It's not an obvious person. I didn't mean to wake the baby up. I'm sorry. That's not the kind of false teacher that he's talking about here, okay? He says that they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Jude 1 verse 4 says that they crept in unnoticed. In other words, not somebody that you're probably going to naturally think of whenever it comes to this term false teachers. Okay? Now, I couldn't think of a better way to illustrate this. So with the gamble of looking foolish, I'm going to illustrate this the best way I know how. All right? I'm going to use myself, okay? Okay, yours truly. When it comes to this, what Peter's talking about here as these kind of false teachers, okay? Let me see you, please raise your hand if this is true, okay? Talking about me here for a second. How many of you think that you know me pretty well? Let me see your hands. You think, yeah, I know you pretty well. Okay, you can make me look foolish right now. Most of you are like, no, I do not. That's really embarrassing. Anyway, how many of you would say, how many of you would say that I trust you, Pastor Aaron? Oh, thank you. Made up for it. How many of you would even go so far as to say that, Pastor Aaron, yeah, you know what? I like you. No, don't raise your hand there, okay? I'm a little too insecure to go that far. But I wanted to say that because I believe that this is what the Apostle Peter is talking about here, okay? It's not going to be, whenever he's talking about these false teachers, it's not somebody that is going to be blatantly obvious to anyone. It's someone, and I'm not a false teacher, okay? But God forbid that I would ever tell you anything other than what this book says. But it's someone, let me just say it, someone like me. Someone who maybe looks like you. Doesn't carry on a different look, maybe. Someone who you would even consider, maybe someone you'd even call your friend at this point. Someone that you would trust. Someone that's proven themselves maybe trustworthy to you even. They crept in unnoticed. And they secretly start to do this. Let me ask you a question. Please don't answer this out loud. But please answer this in your heart. Please do. If I was a false teacher, could I get you to follow me? Could I get you to follow me? Could I get you to follow me because you do not know what God's word says? Could I say whatever it is I felt like saying to you? Could I teach you whatever I wanted? And because you know me, because you've come to trust me, because maybe you even like me, you would just come. Because you don't spend time with God. And you do not know what the truth of this word says. So you don't know whenever what I say to you doesn't line up. Or, do you know this book? Do you know this book because you talk with God? And because you love to spend time with God? And because you allow God to just saturate you with the truths of His Word. So you know His truths. And so whenever somebody, let me just take myself out of this equation for now, okay, because it's getting awkward. Whenever somebody would say to you, someone that you trust, someone that you know, someone that you even like, whoever the case might be, whenever somebody would say to you something other than what is in this book, that your Bible siren would start going off. You know? Woo! Do it again. No. And you're like, wait a minute. What you just said does not line up with what God says. This is the truth. Peter says, I was there. I saw him on that mountain. I heard the voice of God. Jesus is exactly who he said he was. His writings are true. God wrote this book as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the truth. Do you know it? Do you spend time with God? And Peter gives us, he gives us some things that we need to know about these false teachers now. And he says they will secretly bring in, do it in a secretive way. A way that you might not even notice right away. Bring in destructive heresies. Whenever it says heresies, it means an untruthful opinion. It means an opinion that does not line up with what God's opinion is. Teach you these things. Destructive heresies. And that word destructive simply means to come to ruin. Or hell, in other words. They will teach you heresies or untruths that if you follow them, it will lead you down a path that will take you to hell. You know, Jesus just got done talking. Not Jesus, Peter. God through the pen of Peter. Just got done talking, and I don't think this is any coincidence. He just got done talking about what God has done for you and for me in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. In other words, these false teachers are going to start to infiltrate another gospel. They're going to bring in destructive heresies, untruths that will lead a person to hell if they follow them. They're going to start to bring in a different gospel other than the gospel that God says. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Salvation is only found in one. That's through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the word of truth says. But I want us to see something here. I want us to start to see God in this. I want us to start to see the character of God revealed in this passage. Look down there and look at what he says. This is worth noting. He says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Even denying the master who bought them. You know, I couldn't help but think of this as I was studying that this week. That you know something? Jesus, who knew, because he knows all things, Jesus, who knew who these individuals were and knows who they are today, he knows who they are. They're not doing this. They can fool everybody else, but they're not fooling him. He knows exactly who they are. And he knew what they were going to do before they did it. He knew they were going to do their best to lead other people astray. And yet the Bible says they deny, which means say no to, they deny the master who bought them. In other words, yes, I know you. Yes, I know who you are. And yes, I know what you're going to do. And yet I love you anyway. And I will die for you too. What a God we have. Would you do that? Would I have done that? We don't deserve the God we have. Look at his character. Look how merciful he is. and anyone who will but turn to him will receive eternal life. And unfortunately, look at the next verse, and many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Let me just go over this very quickly. And many will follow. Many will follow their sensuality. I love what one of my friends said in as I was, by the way, that's what I call all the guys that I read who help me study this, these other theologians that have done work on this. I call them my friends. If you walk in my office and see books everywhere, I might say to you, yeah, me and my friends are having a conversation. All right? We're talking things over. But I love what one of them said. He said, many people will love this, unfortunately, because they get two things. They get God and they get sin. These are the teachers who will probably use a lot of the same terms we're used to hearing. And they'll look like people who love God. But in their heart, they've denied him. They've said, no, you are not going to be Lord of my life. I will not submit to you. But they'll pose as something different that may look good to us. And Peter just got done talking about, back in verses 5 through 8, about becoming the person that God wants us to be. Changing, being transformed. Being conformed to the image of Christ. Adding these things to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, godliness, love, brotherly kindness, self-control. These teachers aren't worried about those things. It says that many will follow their sensuality or their destructive ways. I get God, and I can do whatever I want to. And because of that, he says, and because of them, because of the way they're leading people, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. That word blaspheme there simply means to speak lightly of, or to speak evil of, perhaps. How bad of a testimony is it when people who claim to be children of God do not look or act like our Savior Jesus Christ? The world looks at that and says, whatever. You don't look any different from me. I don't know what you have, but apparently I don't need it. That's the path they will take, people. Verse 3, you may ask yourself, why would they do this? What's the motive here? Why would somebody do something like this? Why would people want to say lies like this and lead people like this? Say things that are untrue, but maybe they sound good and get people to come along with them like this. What's their motive? Well, we have it in verse 3. Look with me in verse 3. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. We have it. And the word exploit here carries the idea of getting something from you. Make no mistake, when someone attempts to lead somebody else against this word, it's not because they love that person. It's not because they care about this. They care about that person. It's because they're greedy and they want something from you. They want something from you. God's word's clear. Now he's not. Now Peter's not extremely clear here on what that something is that they want, but I think we can draw some pretty good conclusions. It could be popularity. I love being popular. And so I'm willing to tell you whatever it takes to make you happy and to get you to come along with me. This is what I love. I love being the popular one. That might be it. Maybe it's power and position. Maybe somebody wants you to vote them into a higher position, so they're willing to tell you whatever it takes. Tell you things that you like, that sound good. Maybe even it's hard to pick out that it doesn't line up completely with God's word, but they're willing to say it to get you to come along and vote them in somewhere. Maybe that's it. I think the obvious one, whenever you think of the word greed, we think of money. I want something from you. Give to my cause. Look at all the people that come to me, and they walk away with smiles on their faces. Look at all the good I'm doing. Give to my cause. They want something. They don't love you. They don't care about you. But they do want something from you. They're greedy. That's what drives them to do what they do. But you know, here's the good news. As we get to our final point this morning. Point number three, the title of the message, the perfect judgment and mercy of God. The perfect judgment and mercy and rescue of God. Look with me at the end of verse number three. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. God knows who the righteous ones are. He knows who his righteous children are. And he also knows, he's not fooled, he knows exactly who these people are, who these false teachers are, who have said no to him. And he says, your condemnation from long ago is not idle. In other words, I said this a long time ago. And just because maybe it looks like you're prospering a little bit now, I said this a long time ago and it will come to pass. It's not idle that you will be condemned. You will be condemned. And your destruction is not asleep. Just because it hasn't happened right away, it's not asleep. It's going to happen. But we're about ready to read a little bit here in these next few verses and see just God come out and see his true character just come out of these verses. That you know what? I know who everyone is. I know who my children are. And I will execute perfect rescue and perfect mercy on those who belong to me. And I will also execute perfect judgment on those who have rejected me. But anyone who turns to me, even though you've rejected me, anyone who turns to me and calls upon me for salvation and forgiveness, I will grant it, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done. Will you turn to me? Look with me, if you would. Peter gives us three Old Testament illustrations as proof that God is in control and will perfectly judge the false teachers and rescue his children. Number one, look with me in verse 4. God judged the fallen angels. Verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. Peter's point here is simply this, that if God did not spare the angels who beheld him in all of his glory, were there to serve him, and they sinned against him, and they rebelled against him, if he did not spare them, then you know what his character is. And he will not spare the false teachers who are bent on leading the church astray. He will not spare them either. This is his character coming out. Now look at this. Verse 5. And we start to see just how great God is here. God judged the ancient world in Noah's day. Verse 5, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, Peter's point here is simply this, that listen, if he did not spare angels, then his character hasn't changed. He will not spare the ungodly and the unrighteous in the end. But, and his point here is still the same. If he did not spare the ancient world who rejected him, then he also will not spare those who reject him now, including the false teachers. However, look at the mercy of God that we see in this verse. Look at the mercy that we see. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5 says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Here's what you have. You have Noah in the ancient times. Noah, guys, he was the only one. Can you imagine being the only one? He was the only one. The only righteous man. And his family, they were it. And God says, "I know who you are. I know who you are, even though everybody else in this world has rejected me and just does evil continuously. I know who you are, Noah. And I will spare you and I will spare your family from the destruction that I'm about ready to do, from the judgment that I'm about ready to execute." And look at this. Not only does he rescue Noah and his family, look at this, "but preserve Noah, a herald of righteousness." And that word herald means a preacher or a proclaimer. God didn't destroy everything right away. You ever think about that? He allowed Noah, as Noah obeyed God and built the ark to preserve himself, his family, and all the animals that he was going to take along, Noah was proclaiming righteousness to all who would hear him. God says, "I'm going to have mercy. You can turn to me. You can turn to me." For years, that's how that went on. And yet nobody would. Can you imagine the mocking, maybe? "Noah! When's it gonna rain?" You ever notice when people are mocking, it sounds like they're gargling? "Noah! When's it gonna rain?" And it did rain. And a whole lot more. And Peter's saying, God knows who people are, and he will execute perfect rescue for those that are his, and he will execute perfect judgment for those that are not his. Yet he has mercy, and he has grace. "For he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, including those who by your and I standards do not deserve the grace of God." Last one, same point. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at this, verses 6 through 10. "If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority." Remember the story? God was willing to have mercy again. Remember the conversation he had with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18? He appears to Abraham, tells him what he's going to do. "I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness." And Abraham says, "Will you have mercy?" And God says, "I will not destroy the cities if I can find how many righteous men?" I believe it was 10. Look at the mercy of God. And even though he destroyed the cities, he knew who belonged to him. And he rescued righteous Lot. This is who our God is. It's so important that we spend time with God so that we know what the truth of this book says. Do you spend time with God? False teachers are here, and they will try to lead you astray. They will try to lead me astray. Do you know what this book says? So when you hear someone teach you something that goes totally against the truth of God's word, you say, "Oh no. No, I'm not going that way." Be comforted, as I was comforted this week. God knows who you are. God knows who the unrighteous are. And he will do this perfectly. He will not be wrong one time. If you belong to him, he will rescue you. If you do not belong to him, he has made it clear. Those who say no will face the judgment. Have you said no to him? Do you need to receive the forgiveness that he offers you? You know, even though you've said no, you can say yes today. That's the mercy of our God. The mercy and grace of God is that he allowed you to be here once again. He allowed the people of the ancient world to hear Noah time and time again. What a wonderful God we have. I'll ask us to bow our heads as we wrap this up today. And would an instrumentalist please come forward? I'm not going to drag this out, but I want to let God talk. Would you say today, as the instruments start to play, would you say today, "You know what? I'm not a false teacher, but I believe I've been led astray by false teaching. And I think I just realized today that Jesus is the only way." Jesus is the only way. You know, before I was taught something else. I was taught that I had to do something. I was taught that I had to be good enough. Or whatever it is that I was taught, it was different than this. Do you need to receive Christ today? He will forgive you, and he will grant you eternal life. If you believe in him and call upon his name, let me ask this. Is there anyone in here that would be bold enough to say, "You know what? I've been false teaching people. I just realized that I've been leading people down a path that will lead to their destruction. I have been teaching things that do not line up with this book. I want to make that right. I need to be saved. I need to let Jesus forgive my sins." I'm just going to say, if that's you today, there's no one looking around. Would you please come? There are counselors down here that would love to take you aside and take this book of truth, God's word that he wrote down, and show you from it how you can become a child of God. I'm just going to be silent here for the next moment or two. And if you need to come, you come.